This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we're all traveling this faithfulness bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at www.botfpodcast.com. You can find me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. I'm on Instagram at botfpodcast. And if this conversation sparks a need to reach out for more resources or just ask questions or anything, you can always email me, Jenna@botfpodcast.com. I have been so excited about this interview. I am talking with Meg Gleisner, and she's the host of Letters from Home podcast, where she talks about everyday extraordinary faith stories. Each episode, she interviews fascinating people, and she talks about their life, how God intersected their life, and what a difference that made from there. I personally love her PS sections, where you get to know that fun and quirky side of each guest and her as well. I've asked her here for the motherhood series because she's been a huge mentor to me in the past year, and she is a mother of 8 children, each in different stages. And I thought, who better to talk about transitions and motherhood than someone who has gone through it with 8 children? So thank you, Meg, for coming on. It means the world to me to have this conversation. And selfishly, I just love being able to have uninterrupted time to get some wisdom. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Jenna, for having me. I feel so blessed to be on your show. You have such a big heart, and I just love hearing about your stories with your kids and all that you're doing. And you've been a huge blessing. One of the great blessings of quarantine for me is getting to know you better. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, I feel like I actually made more friends during the quarantine time than I would have.
Right?
Is that extrovert in me? It's like, I must meet people. So Meg, why don't you tell us a little bit about your childhood? Because I feel like that helps set up your strategies for parenting now.
Oh, totally, right? Been fun talking with you just about stuff like how we grew up and stuff like that. I had a bit of a hard childhood, you could say. So my dad was an alcoholic. My parents got divorced young. You know, just a lot of brokenness in my home, a lot of yucky stuff, kind of lived with this parent for a bit and went live with this parent. Just a lot of really hard transitions. I think I went to 10 elementary schools. So you're going back and forth and with this parent, with that parent, some other siblings. And so really, as a little girl, I was super insecure and unconfident. I really just didn't know where I fit in the world. My dad yelled a lot and my mom was kind of absent. So when I'd visit my dad, you know, there'd be one dynamic, my mom the other thing. And so really going into high school, I really was kind of alone on my own a lot. I didn't know really what to do. And I kind of poured myself into sports. I just became good at sports. But you know, on the inside, that feeling, you know, I think of that verse where God says that he put eternity in our hearts in Ecclesiastes. And I always had this sense in high school, you know, like you're just kind of trying not to make mistakes, hang out with the popular kids, trying to do all those things. But inside, I knew there was an emptiness and a longing. My junior year of high school, and my dad had gotten sober somewhere in the middle of high school through some very difficult situations. And he got remarried and there was just all kinds of extra fun stuff. But in the midst of all that, I had a friend at school and I'd really never been to church. And she invited me to this party and I was at a party. A guy named Lance, I still remember his name. He said, hey, right in this co-ed room with about a dozen kids, said, hey, I want to talk about the Bible. And I was like, what? What is he talking about? He opens the Bible. People start kind of gathering around him and he shares John 3:16, talked about salvation. And you know, my heart perked up. I was listening so hard. And he talked about how we could give our lives to Christ. And did anyone want to give their lives to Christ? I said, I do. I want to. And so at 16 years old, at a party, I gave my life to the Lord. Pretty crazy. And then, so I'm like, hey, I should tell my dad, right? You know, tell my dad that I got saved. And I went to ask about God. And he was so angry and said that there was no room for God in his house. So I just kind of hid the Bible and stuff. Didn't really talk about my faith because I didn't want to displease him. And so I just kept it all quietly to myself till college. And I found a really neat group of Christians who just seemed to love me for me. I thought, wow, the way they know God, I want to know God like that. And I started really growing my faith. And my friends invited me to church. When they invited me to church, I'm like, oh, I should ask my dad. I said, hey, Dad. And he said, you can go to church once, but if you want to go again, you can't live with me. I was like, oh. So I went and I thought, are you kidding me? How cool is this? The Bible's being shared. People are singing. You know, I just couldn't believe there was a place where everyone was singing. I remind myself of that now and think of, you know, people have different experiences, right? But I have always loved being with God's people at church. I went and I knew I wanted to go again. And, you know, when I talked to my dad, he kicked me out of the house and he said, you are not welcome to live here. And I was a good student in college. I was putting myself through college. So Jenna, that's kind of the basic start of how I started off, you know, in my faith. How about that?
I grew up knowing Jesus. You know, I remember there was no conversion story for me because I just always believed, if that makes any sense. It's just amazing to me to hear people choose Jesus over something huge. And I know that your childhood was hard, but that I feel like in some ways made wanting your parents to love you even a harder thing to sacrifice. And I'm sure you felt huge rejection, but Jesus was more powerful and more appealing to you than that rejection.
Absolutely. The way you put that is so true. And because I had to pay that price, I ended up moving in with my mom, who was in transition with a, you know, another relationship that wasn't a great one. I just was so grateful for the freedom that I had to read my Bible after that. I grew so much in college. And when people, you know, invite you to a party, I just remember thinking, why would I want to go to a party? Because I've got the Lord. I grew up without that secure home environment with the loving parents where, you know, like I only heard negative things about each parent. They didn't work it out really well. Like, oh, let's talk nice about the step parent. No, it was your mom's this and your dad. So yeah, no, when I started going to church, it was just incredible. And I was so grateful just to walk with the Lord. And that's where my husband too. So that's a blessing.
So speaking of your husband, how did your childhood affect how you guys decided to parent?
I think that's something that at first you think, I don't want to do parenting like this, right? If it was a negative experience, which mine mostly was, my mom would say she was a terrible mom. My dad would say something similar. But, you know, you think, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be like that. And, you know, Mike and I, when we got married and we are about to have our, you know, 32nd wedding anniversary this summer, we just started our home off and just with prayer and values, like, what do we want our home to be about? I don't know how much their parenting was in our mind, besides, I don't think I want to do this or this, but we just thought, what is the direction and the tone that we want for our own family and our own home?
So you have 8 children.
Yep, only 8, Jenna.
Did you go in knowing you wanted a big family, or how did that come about?
Yeah, you know, you get those comments. Oh, do you know how this works? Yeah, we know how this works. So we both didn't have a number in mind, but we both we prayed about it together as a couple, one at a time. And when we felt like we were ready, we would work on having another kid. And so God just brought us 8 kids. And I know a lot of you just did that series in infertility I was listening to. That's so beautiful. And it's like we each have a trial of life. And for me, for some reason, God made it super easy for me to make babies and have them sleep through the night and all those kind of things. So I'm grateful that that was what he put on my plate. But yeah, we have 8 kids, and now they're age 30 to 15.
So you have been through a lot of transitions.
Yes, lots.
Which has been, I mean, I'm only the big transition of toddlerhood to childhood. That's the biggest one I've been through. And that has thrown me for a loop. So how did you survive that 8 times? What did you have any good wisdom, or I'm sure it grew as you continued to progress through each child's transitions. What tips could you give a mama who is struggling with the transition from toddlerhood to childhood?
It's a hard time. Your kids are little and you kind of have this little environment at home that you're working on and helping set values and get cooperation and reading your little Bible devotion and trying to be patient and asking forgiveness and all those things. And then when it's time for them to go to school, it is a tearing of your heart and it's really hard, but it's also good. I remember the day our 5-year-old, our oldest, was going to kindergarten and she lied the week before a couple times. And I remember crying, thinking, thinking she's going to be a pathological liar and now she's going to school and it's over and I can't help her with her character anymore. And it's like, okay, you know, maybe a classic overthinker here. I think, Jenna, what I would say is trust that God is working. And one of the most helpful things I can give you for when your kids are starting off at school is to view the school and the teachers as your ally. Don't view them as an enemy. Know that your kid is sharing things about home that they that aren't true, and know that your kid is going to be sharing things that aren't all the truth with them as well. You get involved. Of course, get involved as you can at the school so you can see the environment, so you know the right questions to ask your kid at home if you can. And our kids have gone to public school, and that's a whole thing too, right? Figuring out where God wants you in your lane, whether it's homeschool, private school, public school. God can be in all of those places. He can help us through each one of those. For me, being in the public school, if your kids are going that direction, there's a group called Mothers in Prayer. I highly recommend do whatever you can to be involved with one of those groups, because I am still praying with those ladies. And our kids have graduated from college and we are still praying together for our kids. And when you have like-minded moms who you can share that journey with, huge blessing.
So being on a farther away end from toddlerhood, how would you say the seeds that you planted at that time, how have you seen them grow? What hope can you give for mamas that are like, my five-year-old is lying all the time, and knowing that what they're doing now, even though they don't see the fruit of it until later, is there fruit that you see from what you were doing with your toddlers?
Absolutely. Reading them those little Bible stories, you know, you got your Dr. Seuss next to your little Bible stories. Let's pick one of these. The word that is hidden in their heart, you know, those little checklists that you have for, you know, okay, so maybe Leonora isn't brushing her teeth perfectly. Is there a little list that she gets to put a little star on? So as the kids are developing these habits of routine, right? And that's one of the big school age things too, is getting in the routine of, now we're going to do this, then we're going to do homework, we're going to have our snack, do homework, and then free play. You know, as they're doing all those kind of things and you talk about the reasons for them, God wants us faithful, right? We're talking about faithful podcasts and teaching our little ones to be faithful, because we said we're going to do it. And mommy's being faithful too, because I'm actually expecting them to do it if I say they're going to do it. So yes, those foundations that you lay for routine. And really, Jenna, this is one of the main things. As women especially, we set the emotional atmosphere in the home. It's scary, but it's also a blessing, because God made us different. And women, we have more spice and warmth. You know, some of us are more introverted, and that's okay, but we still have it. God made us to be nurturers. You see in Genesis, the different roles that he gives, even with the curse, it's different, you know, because God made us beautifully different. So that tone we set in the early years of love and teamwork, and when they're fighting and the siblings are, okay, you know what? Let's take a moment and let's redo that. Let's start over and redo that. All those things totally pay off in the school years.
That helps give me endurance, you know, that it will pay off. And I know that they're still developing and learning and stuff like that, but sometimes it just gets so draining.
So tiring when they're little.
Yeah. So speaking of tiring, so we've got the transition to childhood, and then they're crazy toddlers to childhood, which I feel like is a really sweet time, is that elementary school age. And then they get to the preteen and teenage, which is where they start pushing boundaries in different ways that they did when they were two, and maybe sass mouthing. That's my favorite word, sass mouth. And just trying to push the limits and gain some independence. So how did you deal with their fight for independence when they weren't ready for it? I think that's the thing I'm most scared of when it comes to the transition toward preteen and teen years.
Yeah, that there's some pushback. Well, Jenna, this is what I tell myself. So when the kids reach a new stage, and you're going to find this in the preteen years, in the teen years, I also see it happening in the late teens, early 20s, where God made them to prepare for the next stage. And so their mind grows, their heart grows, their reasoning grows, and we want that to happen. They need that. But the way it comes out to us is in pushback. You know, like, well, I want to clean my room a different way. And when they're little, and when they're in elementary school, you can say, well, you know what? Right now we're cleaning our room. And then they want to say, well, but why? You can say, well, first say, okay. And then say, now let me know about the why. So you're always talking when they're little about the whys in elementary school. And then at some point you're, and this is the big transition. You have to go, and this is, it's hard, but you have to go from setting all the rules and boundaries to helping them set their own boundaries because they value it. Not just the boundaries, but the values. So you have to transition from, okay, did you do this? Did you do your homework? Did you do this thing? What is your plan for your homework? What are you thinking about that big project? You know, so you start hearing what's in their mind, what's in their thinking. Are you thinking about getting a job? What's that going to look like? And so when you hear them speak about what's inside, I have friends whose the kids are 16, 17, and the parents are still micromanaging every little thing. And so that's really not going to help the kids in the long run. So, and if you get too rulesy, then you get more of the pushback. You know, as you pray about it through their teen years, as you and your husband are praying, you know, maybe one kid you come down too hard on, you can see it and they pull back or they leave the room and then you're like, okay, I pushed too hard. So just being sensitive to where they're at and loving them and praying for them and knowing that they need that to be an adult, that helps me work through those long conversations, because ultimately what's really important is we are all on the same team and we want to parent that way, that we are Team Jesus, Team Gleisner. And, you know, if we foster that, it can be such a beautiful thing in the teen years. We really have a great time with our teenagers. Still push back sometimes, but not too often.
It sounds like it's finding the balance between nagging and making them take ownership.
Yes. Where your kids are at with young kids, do you want to just be putting out fires all day long? Sometimes we're in that mode where it's like, ooh, don't do this. No. We want to be setting a direction. And so we have to have non-confrontational times where we're saying, all right, how are we going to be a blessing today? What are we going to get done today? How can we improve our school routine to the elementary kids, to the teenagers? How can we serve at the youth group? What are you thinking? So you have meetings together where you're talking about these things in non-confrontational situations, not just, oh, they're in the car, they don't want to go somewhere, they're fussing, they want to stay and play on their computer, and then it's this tug thing in the car. No, talk about that at a different time. Does that make sense?
So you have family meetings.
Yes.
So teens getting ready to move out and into the next independent, but not quite independent stage of life.
Yes.
Was it hard to let them go be on their own, or did you feel like they were getting pretty well prepared before they left?
It's always hard because you love your kids. And as a mom, you just want to help them with their character. For me, I just want them to walk with the Lord. And we try not to ever like force the spiritual stuff, but we just have family devotions Monday through Friday in the morning. And Mike, he just said yesterday, who has a word for us today? And so then the boys are like, oh, I'll bring something tomorrow, Dad. They see you spending time in the Word and they want to do those kind of things. So, you know, I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. And with our seniors, so this is a couple things we do with our seniors in high school. Junior year, they pay half of their school fees, and we have them senior year pay all of their school fees. And so that they start preparing in their mind that they're going to be adults, and a lot of them work, you know, they're doing all the sports and honor classes and youth group and all the things. We just kind of say, we have a senior this year, and Jordan, what do you think is a reasonable bedtime? And make it be that he's sticking to his own word so he can be a man of integrity instead of me saying, go to bed, you go to bed. It's like, what is your plan for tonight, so that he's making his own plans. He's owning his own life. He's filling up the car with gas. He's getting to work. He's doing all those things. And then we actually tell the kids, all right. And Jordan knows in June, this June, when school's done, he's going to be off of our family housework list. We call it a stewardship list. And after that, every kid, after they graduate, it's completely volunteer. And you know what? Every last one of our kids who comes home probably almost do more work than they did in high school, because it's up to them, because there's that trust and confidence. They're still sinners. Sometimes they're tired and stuff. That's one of the ways that we prepare, is giving them more responsibilities, stepping back. You know, like my son was playing, one of my sons playing so many games on his phone, and I really wanted to step in. I had to fight that urge to step in every day. I stepped away from that a little. He failed a little bit. And you know what? The Lord got a hold of his heart, and he is so strong on his second year of college. It's really encouraging, but letting him fail a little bit so that they can learn that while they're at home.
I think that's one of the biggest issues I have with some of the helicopter parenting or micromanaged parenting, and I fall into that. So I'm not judging anyone who does that.
Right. Me too.
No, I have a special needs son, and so that helps me see things a little differently. And I realize that with parenting, my whole goal of parenting is to help him be as independent as possible if he gets to leave home or if he gets to move out and have his own life. And it's looking good that that will happen. It may not. So I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I need to start now to give him those tools to succeed. And if I did everything for him and never made him do anything on his own, that's not going to help him when he's out on his own.
Right. Yeah. You'll learn as you go, Jenna. It's because sometimes you don't have time to help him with those kind of things. You'll have a season where you have more energy, and those are the days to really work on some of those independence things.
And you also have children who have now gotten married, and some have children of their own, correct?
Yep. Grandmother to five precious little ones.
Is it hard to let them parent their way when you know what worked? Like, say something you disagree with or you're not sure is the best or whatever from your opinion. Is it really hard to step back and let them do that? Or is it kind of freeing to know that it's not necessarily your job?
It's definitely more freeing to me, really, because I think for me in this transition, what is the most helpful thing is that I love to just come along our adult kids. My number one job is to listen. Each family is going to run their family differently, and I just listen so I can come alongside and support them in whatever they're doing. It takes a little while to figure out what your role is, because you send them off to college and you're like, wait, should I see if they're coming home? It's a little bit of a dance to figure out the communication. And some of them have a little pushback on their faith, or they quit going to church and you can't just ask them because, so figuring out how to not check in with those daily things like you did when they were in high school. For me, those college years really has prepared me for them to be adults, because you say that they're the Lord's, right? From birth, from praying before you even are pregnant, right? You pray and you ask God, and then the Lord gives you children. You pray for them all through, and you know they're the Lord's. But then when they start going out on their own, that really gets tested. For me, that's has been the hardest part of parenting, is respecting what they're saying and listening if there's a change. I've heard faith is like a bunch of building blocks of your childhood. And when they become an adult, they toss all those blocks up in the air because they kind of need to put them together. Again, not freaking out or reacting, but knowing that this is something that has to happen for them to fully own everything. I think for me, Jenna, that groundwork for me helped me to say, Lord, they are yours. You love them so much more than I do. And that's all I want, is for them to love you and to walk with you. So once you settle that with the Lord, then when they're adults, it's like, I am so grateful. I'm the mother. I'm special to them. I get to come alongside and serve and bless and speak verses in as God opens those doors, or share faith with those that are, I've really loved this stage.
And the theme that keeps coming up, either through your words or through general ideas that you've kind of put out, is the teamwork, the team. We've always tried to emphasize teamwork, and like, mommy and daddy are a team, so don't try to pull us apart. And then when we discipline, we sit down and we're like, we're a team. And our job as your parents, our part of the team is to help you learn to make better choices or whatever. And so we always try to emphasize that we're working as a team, we're together, we're not against each other, we're not opponents, we're not enemies. And I think instilling that into our kids helps bring a trust and a confidence in our kids, knowing that they're not alone in this, that they have a team of a family. And yeah, there's going to be consequences when they mess up, but we don't always succeed, but we try to make sure that when we do give consequences, it's something to help them build a tool, not just to punish them, but to bring them up. Just teamwork in general is how a family is designed to be, I think.
For sure. And it's what the enemy wants to put wedges in. The enemy wants us to be all off in our little electronics and little rooms and separated and not really have a sense of fellowship. You know, like the enemy wants to get wedges in our between our marriage, or like have the kids pit each other against, you know, and God does want that fellowship and unity and teamwork. And like you said, it's a hard thing, but it's so worth it. And the kids really appreciate it. And then they start responding versus not wanting to disappoint you versus still just fighting all the rules. Like I could say, Jordan, like I've lost a little bit of confidence in your integrity this week. And then he was a little sad about that. I said, but Jordan, I have confidence in all these other areas and I would love to see this. And he's like, you're right, Mom. I'm going to be working on that this week. So then you're not responding out of just, you made this rule. I don't want to do the rule. Now it's about teamwork and not wanting to disappoint, right?
And they know that since you're on a team, you're on their side. You're not just trying to block. So faithfulness is the theme of Bridge of the Faithful. It has two parts that I've learned in my journey of understanding faithfulness. And the first one is that God's faithfulness is always true. He always keeps his promises. It's never failing, always there. So what have you learned or seen or maybe made more tangible for you of God's faithfulness as you've gone through the transitions of motherhood?
I think, Jenna, the verse, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And realness here is a mom, even now, there's days I just feel like a teenager. Some days I'm super encouraged or I'm down, you know, because I've got 10 problems, or the next day I've got 10 things I'm celebrating so joyfully, I'm almost crying. And the road of motherhood and marriage, right? Then you've got marriage and let's throw some hormones in there just to make it extra fun. You've got all of this happening. One kid's just like going off on the mission field. One kid saying, I'm not sure what I think about God. You know, you've got all this stuff happening. Somebody, you know, death in the family, a new baby born. Jesus Christ is the same. And that is something through all the ups and downs of motherhood where I know in my heart and I am grateful for God's faithfulness every day that he is not changing while everything else is.
Especially, well, this year, everything's changed, but it doesn't matter if we're in, you know, if people are listening to this 5 years down the road, when hopefully we're done with this whole pandemic stuff, there's always going to be uncertainties in our life. We don't know what the future holds, but we know we can trust God's faithfulness because we know he's the same as when he was faithful to us in the past. The other half of faithfulness is stepping on that bridge of the faithful. Our job is to kind of work to be that good and faithful servant of Matthew 25, which you can go check out an episode on that. I can put the link for that. But first of all, I want to note that God's faithfulness to us never depends on our ability to be faithful to God. So I'm not saying you need to work harder and God's going to be more faithful. Again, like Meg just quoted with Hebrews, that he's unchanging. It doesn't matter what we're doing. He's still the same. But in growing in your faith and understanding Jesus more and God more through parenting, which I feel like parenting for me has been one of the biggest lessons in understanding God's love for me, in letting me see a little glimpse of that as I am a mom to little sinners who are super cute. But what things have you done to intentionally be faithful to God in your motherhood journey?
I think it has to start, Jenna, with our love for our spouse. You know, so much of what the kids see about parenting comes from our relationship with one another, the picture of Christ in the church, our love for one another. So that's something that we always make sure we have date nights, even when our house is a disaster and we have a dollar to share for date night, that we prioritize each other to always be lovers before parents. That's something super important, having people in our lives where we can ask for help. You and I have talked. I can still remember clear advice I was given for when our toddlers were little and they were struggling. I still remember advice I was given. So there's so much to learn from others. And then what I said earlier, just praying with a group of moms, even if it's a text, because you're so busy and overwhelmed, just pick two of your Christian. I actually just started another one yesterday because my mom's group was so big and I felt like I wasn't getting known. So I put three ladies and said, hey, I'm struggling with my, you know, my family. There's a lot going on, you know, with my siblings and my parents. So I asked for prayer. And so we started this personal prayer chain. So that can be super, super helpful. And just staying in God's word. As a mother, it's easy to forget that we just think of ourselves, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, but really, our most important role is we're a child of God. And I want to be that one who's loving my Heavenly Father every day, starting the day with the Lord. And you know what? I'm not Snow White singing with the birds in the morning. Every day's not perfect, but my Bible is out there in the living room. And this morning, my kids see me there 30 minutes sitting with the open Bible. So being a child of God first, those are the things where I feel like God is with us as we're traveling this faithful bridge together, right?
So before we close with your verse that you've picked, I just, first of all, want to say thank you because every time we talk, I am encouraged either with endurance or new tools in my belt or whatever. And I have loved this conversation so much that it's probably going to continue on in other ways. Just thank you for sharing your wisdom and being vulnerable, telling a little bit of your story and just being willing to be introspective for the benefit of people that you've never even known and you don't even know who's going to listen. So just so anyone who's listening knows, we prayed for you for these words to bless you. We don't know who you are, but if they did bless you, please give us a shout out and let us know if there's anything else we can do to bless you as well. But just the things that God brought in this conversation, I hope can help you either know you're not alone as you struggle through a transition or give you maybe new ideas to freshen up some of your relationship with your either your spouse or your children. So Meg also has a podcast, which we talked about at the beginning, and she shares some of these wisdom tips in that in her conversations with her interviewees, as well as she has Instagram where she shares some great tidbits of life and sometimes really fun things to help ease the stress of the day. So Meg, why don't you tell people where you want them to find you or where the best places are to check out your stuff.
On my website, I think I've got a lot of great episodes that would really be encouraging and resonate with mamas. And that's at lettersfromhomepodcast.com. So yeah, and like Jenna said, if you are stuck at a place of parenting or need any help, feel free to reach out to me on any of my socials, Instagram. Letters from Home Podcast is my handle there. So yeah, feel free to reach out anytime. I love helping young mamas.
So you have chosen Jude 1:24. Why did you pick that verse?
When I look at our kids and I think of all of the things, and I remember as a young mom, as a mom of school-age kids, of teenagers, and even now I look at the kids and now the grandkids, it is so important to remember. And if 2020 taught me anything, it is that God is big and He can not only wants to do little things with your kids. Like, you know, we just think we have all this pressure on us as moms, like I've got to do this and this so that the kids are this. And we end up sometimes parenting out of fear because what we don't want them to be, or we do, you know, and we get all anxious and stressed. But I want us all to remember. And for me, I have prayed this verse thousands of times for our children. God is not only able to have our kids be brought to heaven just barely there, but He is able to present them faultless before the presence of His glory with great joy. And if I truly lay hold of that every day as a mama and a child of God, it transforms my heart and my thinking every day.
Jude 1:24. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy.
This has been episode 53 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Transitional Motherhood with Meg Gleisner. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/53. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.